Have you ever heard the sound of freedom? Have you ever heard the sound of freedom?
You are listening to The Flip Side with Noah Filipiak, connecting the reality of the gospel to the grit of life. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/NoahFilipiak or at NoahFilipiak.com/give.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 4 of the Flip Side podcast, also known as episode 66. If you want to go back into the archives, as I've changed the name of my podcast as many times as I change my pants in a week. I think that one fell apart pretty quick. I do change my pants. Sometimes I'll wear jeans a few days in a row. Nothing wrong with that. No shame in that. You know, I bought some pants, which is rare. I hate buying clothes. And I messed up the pants. Like, they're khakis, and I would iron them, and there's lines on them, and then they ended up getting this stain on them from my laundry detergent, and I tried to get the detergent stain off with OxyClean spray, and then that just turned into a huge stain. Like, it bleached out the fabric or whatever. And these were expensive pants. Like, expensive for me. I'm not gonna tell you where I bought them from or anything, because I don't know, maybe you'd make fun of me. I'd probably make fun of myself. So, this is what I do. I'm like, I just bought these pants. They're expensive for me. And I ruined them by the way, nothing on the tags. I looked, because I've done that before as well. Nothing on the tags that says you can't iron them or anything like that. So, I sent an email in to the company. And you know that's how I roll. My wife knows that. I will... Not mean emails, but like nice, you know, how to win friends and influence people emails where like I legitimately want a coupon or my money back or something because I just wrecked these pants and I need new ones now. So they tell me, you know, you have to take them into the store and talk to a manager because whatever. So that's what I do. And I go in and I talk to the manager and they were super cool. And they told me, yeah, these are hard to care for and whatnot. So here's store credit. So, I took my store credit, and I wasn't going to buy the same pants, because I'll just ruin them again. So, I bought some jeans, which is safe, right? So, the guy, the manager, he's really, like, into clothes and how to care for these clothes. And he's like, hey, let me tell you a retail tip, you know, about jeans. Because he didn't want me to mess up my jeans the way I'd mess up my khakis. So, thanks, you know? And so he's like, yeah. And so with these, you first wash. You want to wash them inside out. Cool, thanks. And then he said, actually, you don't need to wash jeans. It's a retail secret. He said, you can just put them in your freezer. And or, you know, like in Michigan when it's cold out, he's like, I just put my jeans outside like overnight. And then you don't have to wash them because, you know, washing will mess them up or whatever. And I'm like, okay. And I'm not the type of person that's going to make an awkward situation. I'm just like, yeah, cool. That sounds good. And he's like, the cold temperature kills germs and bacteria, and then you can just wear them again. And, you know, that's probably scientifically true. You could Google that. You could find like a PBS show that'll tell you that. And I thought, you know, bacteria is one thing. Well, first of all, I have kids and they spill, you know, milk on me and peanut butter and jelly and all kinds of other things. And I don't think freezing my pants would help me with that. And let's just be real. This podcast, it's not, it's funny when people tell me they listen because I'm like, the reason I did the Flip Side is because I wanted to be able to be funny and not inappropriate, but just more like real in myself, right? So it's not this like serious pastor podcast all the time. Talked about, you know, Beavis and Butthead last week and these sorts of things. So not that I'll make a pattern of this, but let's be real. I mean, maybe you don't pass gas in your pants. I do. Let's just be real. Let's just be honest. Let's be vulnerable. Let's be transparent. That's what the church is supposed to be. And I, first of all, I don't want to put that gas that is tarnished and tainted, that denim, right, into my freezer with my food. That is so disgusting. Like, yeah, I farted in these pants all day. I think I'll just put them in the freezer next to the ice cream. And then, like, you go over to their house. Hey, you want some ice cream? Like, nah, bro, I'm good. I think I'm going to pass. But knock yourself out. But then secondly, freezing, let's just stick with peanut butter, because I don't want to be too gross. That's not the point of this podcast, is to make everybody nauseous. Let's just talk about if you had peanut butter on your pants. And that could be, sure, that could be a code name for something else, if you want it to be. If you froze that peanut butter, it's still going to be on your pants. Okay? So that's all. That's all I have to say about that. I don't even know how I got started on that. Something about the intro. I'll have to listen to it later. But there you go. That's not even one of my rants. That's just like free information for you. You can freeze your pants and not ever have to wash them. But I really, you shouldn't tell your friends if you do that. You certainly should not offer them ice cream. Yeah, you'll lose friends that way. So welcome to episode 4. I am a bad parent to my podcast listeners. So I've been telling you that if we get to 10 Patreon givers, we're going to go to every other week. Podcast, if you get to 20, we're going to go to weekly. Well, you know what? We're at 4. We're never going to get to 10. That's it. I'm throwing in the towel. We're never certainly going to get to 20. So here's the thing. I'm not waiting to get to 10, like I said I was going to start doing every other week podcast, or if I want to, weekly podcast. So I'm a bad parent because I'm like the parent who I have a 7-year-old, 5-year-old, 1-year-old, and this would apply to all ages. My 1-year-old is almost 2, where you say something like, if you eat that, what's a good example here? Like my 5-year-old doesn't eat food. Like she eats 7 things, but she won't eat macaroni and cheese. She won't eat hot dogs. She won't eat pizza. Like she does not eat normal kid food. She's very, and she'll throw these huge tantrums, chicken nuggets, all these sorts of things. She just won't eat them. So we'll say, you have to eat that nugget or else, you can't eat any food the rest of the night. So a good parent would actually stick to that. A good parent would say, okay, you didn't eat your nugget, you threw all these tantrums, and so therefore you can't eat the rest of the night. You're going to go to bed hungry. And some of you, like my parents listening, they'd be like, that's right, darn straight. And other parents who have compassion on their children, who are bad parents because we don't know how to discipline our kids, you know, you sometimes overplay your hand a little bit as a parent. If you're like, it's like breakfast, right? And you eat that chicken nugget at breakfast or you're not going to eat food the rest of this day. And then you're like, oh, wait a second. My kid will starve to death and I'll go to jail if I can't hold up to that end of the bargain. You just kind of hope the threat was enough. And then sometimes the threat is not enough. And then you like can't follow through on what you said. And we do this in big and small ways as parents. Like, I'm going to count to 3. Right? Usually we count. Do we count up or down? 3. I think we count down. 3, 2. And you wait as long as you can. You're like, just do the thing I want you to do. I don't want to have to punish you. Fill in the blank on your punishment for your child. That's I'm not going to start. I don't want you to judge me if I punish my children too much or not enough for your taste. But you were like 2, 1 and hold it out. And then 1 should kind of be like when you do the punishment. But of course, we hold on to 0, you know, in your mind, you're like, okay, 3/4, half. And then you get to 0 and it's like, all right, you lost your this for the night. And then they throw the tantrum. It's like, this is what I wanted to avoid, was the tantrum and the and all these things. So basically, this is episode 4, and last episode was like or 3-2. This episode, or you know, was 1, and now I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not gonna go through with the punishment. I'm a bad parent. So as children, you guys, as podcast listeners, you're gonna grow up dysfunctional now with no sense of discipline, because I'm not gonna wait till we get to 10 patrons. I'm gonna start doing every other week podcast now, and maybe weekly, because for one, it's fun. I enjoy the podcast. I hope you enjoy it as well. And frankly, the real reason, I need to do the episodes. If I want the podcast to be growing and successful, you have to do more episodes. You can't put an episode out every 6 months and expect like your podcast to catch on. So I will say a couple things to wrap this up. The other thing is I'm tired of like sounding like a used car salesman. I sort of joked about that in the last episode. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Patreon is in the intro. I really don't want to talk about it every single episode, unless it's sort of to make fun of it, kind of like I am now. So we'll just leave it at that. Your support is appreciated. And sure, I do need a mother. I do need, you know, a mother to make me clean my room. If you ever want this podcast to be on like one day of the week, like a machine where your phone is like, hey, it's Friday. Boom, here's a flip side episode. If you ever want that, then yeah, we'll have to make some kind of deal on Patreon where you are sort of like my boss. But in the meantime, I'm going to make the goals more fun goals that are like, so once we get, I'm going to switch it. Once we get to 10, then I'm going to not shave my beard for a month. I've never not shaved my beard for a month. My wife will hate that. But we'll see. And maybe a month isn't long enough. Maybe after a month, it's like, yeah, no big deal. And we'll have to go longer. Or if we get to 20, I'll wear a handlebar mustache for a week. And I've done that before, and that's a lot of fun. But I don't really feel like doing it again, especially now. I don't know. I don't work in the church that I planted anymore. And when you plant a church, you can, no offense, by the way, if you have a handlebar mustache, I mean, people that have had them a long time, they can rock them and it's awesome. But if you haven't had one and you just bust it out one day, yeah, it's hard to pull off, right? But when you plant your own church, you can do stuff like that. And it's just like, yeah, I'm a goofy, like weirdo. This is what I do just to be fun. And now that I have sort of a real job, not in a church that I started. I'll need some incentive to bust out the handlebar. So we'll do some fun things like that. That's what I'm going to start with. 10 is not shaving. I'm going to shave my neck, because let's be real. You got to shave the neck. Guys, if you're not shaving your neck, shave your neck. I guess if you have a huge, massive beard, right, you don't need to shave your neck because it's all blended in. But man, when I don't shave my neck, it's all itchy and I feel like a caveman. So there's not ever going to be a Patreon about me like growing out my neck beard for a month. Maybe we get to like 1,000 or something, we would do that. But we'll do the beard. We'll let it grow out. Gonna keep the neck nice and clean. But we'll see how that goes. We'll go from there. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed that, right? Because I just talked to you for 15 minutes about nothing. Yeah. Flip side. We do have stuff to get to today. Maybe you'll be happy. Man, I just like, so I can't not comment on things. I just like, what would you call it? I made a nose noise where like I should go blow my nose, but I'm not going to do that while I'm recording. So I made the noise with my nose to like suck in, and I could have just let it fly. And you may not have even noticed it, or you may have been like, that's kind of gross. And now I'm like, yeah, that was gross. If I heard that, I'd be like, gross. Edit that out. Sorry, not going to do that. So there is no mailbag today. Sad. I know, right? No mailbag. I understand it's intimidating to email a show that has billions of international listeners. But maybe that's why I did a long intro instead. If you want to send in email, I love doing the mailbag segment and would love to hear from you. podcast@beyondthebattle.net. And how about this? I'm going to ask you a question. You don't want to ask me a question? I'm going to ask you a question. Please reply to the question via the podcast@beyondthebattle.net email address. And I would love to interact with this question. So, what books have you read that have helped you grow the most? Okay, so it's a two-part question. And then what books have you read that you most disagreed with? Maybe nobody will write me back. That's okay. That's all right. Jesus loves me. But it'd be cool if you were like, yeah, I'm going to write him back. What books have you read that helped you grow the most? Don't say the Bible. Please. I know the Bible has helped you grow the most. The Bible is 66 books. Don't say any one of the 66 books. What non-Bible book, okay, let's say it that way, have helped you grow the most? And what books have you read that you most disagreed with? Those are fun. And then I'd like to interact. Maybe the book that's helped you grow the most is one that I most disagree with. That'd be fun. Or vice versa. So, yeah, send me that, and then maybe in the mailbag next time we can talk about what you say. Oh yeah, there is going to be a Noah's rant at the end, so don't be too sad. There's going to be a Noah's rant. I'm going to rant on why Superman is the lamest superhero, so we'll get to that. But topic of the day, I'm going to talk about shame today, and it's kind of two pieces, shame and then what God thinks of me. And this is something that comes up a fair amount in the Beyond the Battle online groups that I lead. And we just started a new round. So we just finished week two yesterday. And weeks two of seven. And there's a question that I ask in week two, which is our first, or it's our first week of really diving into the material and asking questions. And the question is, what is your posture before God? And so, you know, you think about posture. If you're in the military, your commanding officer walks in the room, there's going to be a posture that you have before him automatically, or her automatically. That's going to be a different posture than the posture you have with your friends, you know, hanging out in your dorm room or whatever it might be. The postures are different, and there's different postures you're going to have for different people, right? So the question is, what kind of posture do you have before God? And we kind of flesh the question out a bit more than that, and those sorts of things. But what I've noticed is a common thread in a lot of guys is the posture is a posture of shame. It's a posture that God is, so when I go before God, what does he think of me? That's really the question. So when you, well, that's a different question, but those are two questions that we ask. When you go before God, what does he think of you? And a lot of us, the guys in my group, me, I can really relate to this, and just people in general, men and women, when we go before God, we feel like God is disappointed in us. Like we haven't done enough. Like he's really holy, and it's like, that's it? That's all you could do? That's all you've done for me? Yeah, I've saved you. And we may feel like to a degree he loves us, but we don't feel like he likes us. So it's not a real type of love. It's like, yeah, I loved you and saved you and whatnot, but I don't like you. I'm disappointed in you. And so the difference between shame and guilt is feeling bad about what I've done. And shame is feeling bad about who I am. So guilt is I did bad. And there's some healthy aspects to guilt. The Holy Spirit brings guilt, and then we repent of those things. So I did bad. That's guilt. But that's very different than I am bad. That I, when I come before God, and we'll talk about this, that in Jesus, we're talking about Christians here, this feeling of shame that when we come before God, he sees me and he says, you're bad. You're bad. All right, so I'm going to read to you just a little segment of a blog post I wrote a few weeks ago. Looks like a couple months ago, actually. Shame versus the gospel. Is God pleased with you? And I'll put a link to this in the show notes. But just a little excerpt that kind of sets the table a little bit. The common thread that these sources share is the general idea that if people knew me, they would reject me. I don't want to be rejected, so I hide. Hiding takes many different forms. For many, the hiding is the front we put out there for everyone to see. It's our performance, our accomplishments, our ability to make people laugh, accomplishing goals, having good behavior, and being seen as a competent, productive member of society, positioning ourselves to where we matter. I will get people to think I'm good so they don't realize the truth. Or I'll do so much good that I'll finally be good. Whereas for others, the hiding is in addiction, in numbing the pain of who we really are so we never have to face it. It's in self-sabotage. It's a subconscious pull to mess things up because we know we'll never meet the standard that's been set, so why try? The standard of what it would take to be accepted, to show ourselves approved by all the judges that count. End of quote. So, you see there the way shame can play itself out in two primary ways. One of them is, in both are, there's this standard set of what it means to be good, to be okay, to be valuable, to have made it. And so the one is this overachiever who's going to do because there has to be this front out there to everyone else. Everyone's judging me at all times, and those judges have to see that I'm okay, that I'm good, that I'm successful, and I've made it. And we're trying to measure up. We might think it's to the standard of our boss or the standard of ourselves or the standard of our parents. But at the end of the day, that all bleeds over into our relationship with God. And we end up living our relationship with God, even though we believe in grace and we believe we're saved by grace, we live our life always trying to measure up to his standard so that he'll finally be pleased with us. Okay, we'll come back to that in a little bit. And then for others, it's like, why try? These are, you know, Christians and non-Christians. The standard of goodness to be acceptable and successful, it's a never-ending cycle. It's a treadmill. So I'm not even going to get on that treadmill. I'm going to self-sabotage myself. And there's numbing the pain. There's addiction. There's addictive cycles. And like the things that I talk about that I just read to you. I'm going to mess things up because I know I'll never be able to meet the standard anyway. Now, back to this question about posture. What's the posture that you have before God? We often make God merit-based. So God says, do these good things and then I'll be pleased with you. And for some, maybe for many, our parents were merit-based towards us. So do these good things and I'll be pleased with you, not just pleased with you, but then I will love you, then I will show you love. Your church may have been merit-based. If you do these good things, if you obey, if you attend church, if you have faith, then God will be pleased with you, we will be pleased with you. This often bleeds into even the way we pray. So you prayed and the prayer didn't come true. And so your church told you that's because you don't have enough faith. And again, there's shame there. You don't have enough faith. You're not good enough. You need to do better. There's more you need to do. Shame, shame, shame. And if you play this out with God, it is never enough. And it's extremely works-based because it assumes that somebody out there could actually do this, that somebody out there was actually good enough where God was pleased with them. It was good enough where God was like, yeah, you've reached my standard of holiness, right? And so what it really is deep down, it comes across like God is really holy, and so therefore we must strive to meet, you know, his standard. But it's actually a low view of his holiness, because a high view of his holiness says, look, there's no way I could ever meet that. The Mother Teresa could never meet that. The most best, you know, whoever fill in the blank good works person could never reach God holiness because it's so high. I'm in so desperate need of a savior. Somebody better help me. Somebody better bail me out and save me because I could never, ever achieve that standard of holiness. That's That's a true high view of holiness. What this is, it's a cheap and low view of holiness because it's saying you could actually attain it. That it's the cupboard is so low that you could actually reach up into it. If you just stretched your arm out a little bit more, you could actually get there, and we spend our life doing that. And ironically, and this is very ironic, it's also a low view of our sin. So this is an attempt to blot out all sin, right? I'm going to blot it out. And so it's the treadmill. If I don't blot out my sin, God's not pleased with me. He doesn't like me, all these things. But it's a low view of sin because it's similar as the holiness piece where you don't understand how massive your sin is. You could never blot it out. You could never blot it out. So when you operate this way, it has a facade of being all about, oh, God is so holy and we're so sinful, so we have to fix that. And you can't fix that. As soon as you say, we have to fix that, you've admitted you actually don't think God's very holy and you don't think your sin is very big of a deal. Now, so as I'm getting into some theological stuff here, the solution to this really is twofold. And part of it is a proper theological understanding. And I don't mean, you know, you have to come over to my denomination and yours is wrong. Yeah, what I'm saying is we have to look at Scripture. That's what I mean by proper theological understanding. We have to look at Scripture. There's a statement that the Father gives to Jesus, and I'm going to make a succinct argument here on the podcast that this statement applies to every single one of us that are Christians, that are believers covered by Jesus' blood. Matthew 3:17, a voice from heaven said to Jesus, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Do you believe that's true about yourself? I'm going to read it one more time and ask yourself if you think that's true about you. When the Father looks at you, do you believe he said this, that he says, "This is my son or daughter with whom I love, and with him I am well pleased"? Do you think that is true about you? Is that what he says about you? And for most of us, we'd have to admit, deep down, we don't believe that's true. Deep down, we believe he's disappointed in us. He doesn't like us. And again, that shoots out sideways in all kinds of crazy ways in our life. So we'll seek sexual sin because a man or a woman can make me feel like I'm loved and like they are well pleased with me because I don't already feel that way. Or when I'm in social settings, I always have this feeling like people don't really like me. They're just faking it. And so I have to always try to be funny and try to entertain. And when I go home at night and I feel like, oh, everybody talks about me. You know, people don't actually like me. I don't actually have friends. Like, it breeds all of this insecurity when we don't know that this is already true of us. So let's look at Scripture and then we'll come back to that question. So Colossians 1:22. And this is really one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It just really succinctly puts all this into one verse. It says, "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death." Here it comes. So what we just talked about was the gospel, right? That's kind of the John 3:16, the Romans road. It's right there in the first part of Colossians 1:22. You've been reconciled to God by Christ's physical body through his death on the cross. That's it, right? That's how you're saved. So we usually stop there and we're like, cool, I'm saved, going to heaven. I've been reconciled to God because Jesus died for my sins. And we miss, here's to me the home run of this verse, "to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." When God looks at you, what does he say? When God looks at you, what does he think? If you are in Jesus. So this is not this like self-help, forgive me for this, but you know, like an Oprah Winfrey sort of Dr. Phil, like everybody's good, everybody's great. Now look, everybody's created in God's image and has dignity therein, but I don't know if I'm going to get to this later or not, so I'll say it now. We are, in our sin, enemies of God. We are, people will kind of rip on this sort of theology, but it's so true biblically that the wages of sin is death. We're enemies of God in our sin, that there is total depravity, right, in our sin, that when we stand before a holy God, we are not his friend until we have Jesus. And that's the gospel, right? So the gospel, Colossians 1:22, it reconciles us because of Christ's physical body through death on the cross, but it presents us holy in the Father's sight, without blemish, free from accusation. So when you stand before the Father, I don't just mean on Judgment Day, I mean right now, do you feel like there's accusation on you? You feel like there's accusing because of the sins you committed this day. Do you think the Father sees your blemish? And some of you want to fight back. Of course he sees my blemish. I just sinned this morning. And look, we're talking about sexual sin with guys in my groups. And so there's deep shame that goes along with this. And so it's like God is, he's disappointed in me. He's mad at me. Well, Colossians 1:22 says, he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, that this is our faith. This is our faith established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. I mean, it calls this the gospel. This is the good news that in Jesus, it is firm and established, that when he looks at us, he's not disappointed. He sees holiness, no blemishes, and free from accusation. And we can't just keep that in our head, right? We can't, okay, I know that, I've memorized it. We have to internalize this and begin to live it out. And we'll talk a bit about that. One more quick verse, Romans 8:4 says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, I'm kind of just plucking that out. So, but the idea is all the requirements of the law, every command ever given in the Bible was fully met in us because of what Jesus did. So when God looks at you, he sees someone that has obeyed every single law in the Bible, according to Romans 8, because of what Jesus did. Skip down a few verses. Oh, my voice. Last time I took a whole bunch of cough drops. I don't know if it's from preaching. Back to, I guess, the Michigan State and college basketball. Whenever you hear, like, Tom Izzo talk or some of these college basketball coaches, and yes, I just put a Lifesaver mint in my mouth, so hopefully you don't hear it on this incredibly sensitive microphone that I have. Tom Izzo always kind of talks like this when he's trying to do an interview because he's just like screamed at the top of his lungs during these games, probably in practice too, for the 40 years of his career. And I wonder if that's what's happened to me over all like the preaching I've done. I don't scream when I preach, but you know, I get into it a little bit like I am right now, a little intense, little intensity. And so I'm paying the consequences now in my my golden years. So, I'm trying to read to you Romans 8:17, if my voice would hold up. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Heirs being H-E-I-R, the heir to the throne. The oldest son was heir to the throne of the king to get the king's kingdom. If you are an heir, it means you get what the king has. So we are heirs of God and we are co-heirs with Christ. So what is a co-heir? You are getting the same thing as the person you are co-heir with. So whatever Jesus gets, you get from the Father. Whatever is bestowed upon Jesus is bestowed upon you. That's why Colossians 1:22 makes sense. Now I sound like a middle schooler who's going through puberty. Oh, I love it. So the reason Colossians 1:22 makes sense, it wasn't just that God was like, you know, when I'm going to look at you, I'm just going to decide to see you as holy. You know, I'm just going to decide to see you as without blemish, without accusation. That wasn't a decision the Father made when he looks at you. When he looks at you, that's actually what he sees. He actually sees you as holy without blemish, free from accusation. He actually sees Romans 8:4. All the requirements of the law have been met. It's not like you turned in your exam and it's this total piece of crap. Like, oh my goodness, were you drunk when you took this exam? Like, you got 15% correct on the final exam. It's not like the father was like, yeah, but I'm just going to ignore that and put 100 on here anyway. That's not what this is saying. We are co-heirs with Christ. What is bestowed upon Christ is bestowed upon us. Jesus, because of Colossians 1:22, because of his physical body being dead on the cross, reconciled us to God, that when we turn in that exam, it is a 100% exam because Jesus made it 100%. When the Father sees us, he sees the holiness of Jesus. Now, here's the real home run. Romans 8:17, if you are a co-heir with Christ, you get what Jesus gets. What does Jesus get from the Father? He gets this perfect, incredible love. This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. You get what Jesus gets from the Father. This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. This is my daughter, whom I love. With her, I am well pleased. How many places do we go in life to get someone to tell that to us, to get the feeling that someone or someone's think that about us? I believe it is the root of almost every sin that we commit. It is certainly the root of every sexual sin that we commit. We are longing for someone to tell us, I love you and I am well pleased with you. And here in the gospel, when the Father looks at you, he is not disappointed in you, because you have Jesus. If he were disappointed in you, then Jesus failed. If the Father were disappointed in you, then Jesus didn't do enough. The cross is not sufficient then. Then Jesus was too weak. And you know you don't believe that. I don't believe that. The power of Jesus, the sufficiency of Jesus, is that in Jesus, he makes you holy. And I think this is a paraphrase of a Tim Keller quote. I don't know, but only saying that to know that. But it's an amazing theological truth from these scriptures, that God cannot love you more than he does right now. You can't get 10 gold stars by doing your devotions or going to church or not looking at pornography for a week or whatever it might be. God cannot love you any more than he does right now, because the bucket is overflowing. He sees you as holy, without blemish, free from accusation. He says, you're my Son, my daughter, whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. So stop trying to get him to love you more. Stop trying to get him to be pleased with you, because he's already pleased with you. You already have it. And on the same coin, God cannot love you any less than he already loves you, because you're in Jesus. And it is your faith in Jesus is firm and it is established. That is the gospel. Because of what Jesus accomplished, this is so profound. This is so different than, yeah, Jesus died for my sins and I'm going to heaven, but God doesn't like me and he's disappointed in me. God loves you. And when he sees you, and so we're back to Romans 8, the passage about being a co-heir, the verse right before it in verse 16, we've been adopted to sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. This is this intimate expression from a young child to their father in this very, very personal way. And so I said it was twofold. There's a theological component to understanding this, and then there's the process of experiencing it, the process of implementing it, experiencing it in your life. One tool I want to give you is called a breath prayer. And I talked about this in one of the last two episodes of the Beyond the Battle podcast. If you want more on this, go back and listen to those, which are maybe five or six episodes ago on this Podbean thread. But the breath prayer is a prayer you can pray all the time, anytime. You pray it as you breathe. And this has been so helpful to me to breathe in. I can only breathe in one nostril right now, but breathe in. I am God's son, whom he loves, in whom he is well pleased. It's a prayer of reminder of truth, the truth of the gospel. I am God's daughter, whom he loves, in whom he is well pleased. You may not have a lot of other things going for you right now. You may be in the pit of despair, and your circumstances are not good, and you can pray this truth: I am God's son. I am God's daughter, whom he loves, in whom he is well pleased. As a reminder of these truths, to slow down in silence, to sit with God, open your hands to him. I like to light a candle, quiet myself before him, and let this breath prayer really just wash over me. It's the truth of the gospel, the truth of scripture. God, when you look at me, what do you see? And if I hear the voice of myself, the voice of Satan speaking lies to me, I'm going to hear those voices. Well, I'm disappointed in you. Well, you haven't done enough. Well, you looked at porn again. And well, you, and I reference that because that's how a lot of the guys in my groups feel. Well, you can't do your devotions. Well, you this. And look, there's a part of me in my journey where I used to hear a teaching like this and I'd say, you can't teach that, Noah, because what you just said, like you just gave people a license to go look at porn. You just gave them a license to not do their devotions. No, I won't be able to think of a good analogy on the fly, but that's being fueled by the wrong thing. That is not going to last. You cannot be fueled by that motivation, because I won't repeat what I said earlier, but you're just going back into legalism at that point. If you are fueled by knowing he already loves you, he's already well pleased with you, I want to spend time with that God. Like, if you have to spend time with someone to earn their approval, you're like, I got to do more. And man, there's people like that. I'm telling you, there's Christians like that. They have been the absolute toughest people for me to minister to. People in church who, no matter what you do, it's never good enough. Whew, man. And I have a heart for justice. And there's people in different realms of justice where that's how they live. No matter what you do, it will never be good enough for them. You can try and try and try, and it'll never be good enough. And I can relate to it. Well, why would I even try, right? That's how we feel before God sometimes. And that is not the voice of God. It's not the voice of God. We just heard the voice of God, the word of God, Colossians 1:22. I won't read all the references to you again. You're a co-heir with Christ. And God's voice to you is, you are my son, my daughter, whom I love and whom I am well pleased. Let that wash over you. Experience it. Don't just read your Bible every day. Let these truths wash over you every day. Experience the Bible. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want to do. I don't want to just read the Bible. I want to experience the Bible. A couple of resources for you as I close. There's a book called Choose and Choose Again by Kevin Butcher. And man, just a helpful book on learning to experience this love of the Father, hearing lots of powerful stories and testimonies of people that learned to experience this type of love from the Father. So I highly recommend that. And then also, on a different note, if you don't know how to create that space, you don't know how to create space. When I talk about breath prayers or lighting candles or having silence or solitude, and all that sounds really wacky and maybe weird to you and foreign, and or you don't know how to create space to hear the voice of God in your life, I highly recommend Sacred Rhythms by Ruth Haley Barton as a way of creating that space and then filling that space with the truths talked about in the episode today. It's a deeper and fuller understanding of the gospel. Right? Amen? Got it? We got it. What a horrible transition time. This the Noah's Rant thing. It's so goofy. If you haven't listened to the podcast before, Noah's Rant, if you don't want goofiness, just turn it off now. Just turn off the podcast. Go to a different episode. Go do something else. This deep. This would be like at a sermon in church, right? I do the sermon. We're going to get to the point at the end. I mean, it's we're going to have the prayer team ready, and it's conviction, and there's repentance, and I mean, there's a mood set. I feel like that's kind of what this podcast was. And now, but instead of going into the prayer team and the invitation song and all these things, it's and now it's time for goofy stupidness. So forgive me for that. But that's how we roll, baby. That's how we roll. So here comes Noah's rant. Get ready for it.
Noah's rant.
All right. So speaking of my Beyond the Battle groups, I do this icebreaker, the online groups, and I always ask guys in the first week, we kind of introduce ourselves, where are you from? And then I ask them, who's your favorite superhero? And every time somebody's favorite superhero is Superman. Let me tell you one thing. Superman is the lamest superhero in existence. Okay, so let's think about this for a second. He has every single power you can think of. He has super strength. He can fly. He's super fast. Oh, and did I mention he's invincible? Nothing can hurt him. We'll come back to that in a second. He even has dumb powers. It wasn't enough to give him every possible superpower that actually matters. Superman has X-ray vision. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, okay, great. And also icy breath. He blows on things and they freeze. And why not add in lasers from his eyes? You just got to think, as you're building the superhero, it's how many more lame things can we add to him? Did they forget? Maybe snot rockets from his nostrils, or, who knows what? It's just these ridiculous powers added on and added on and added on, let alone that. So Superman is a DC hero, and DC comics are super lame. Maybe this will fit into this rant or its own rant. Marvel comics, man, born and raised on Marvel comic cards and comic books, so much better than DC. And Batman, the Batman movies are the only respectable thing. The new Batman movies, the Christian Bale, Christopher Nolan, those are the only respectable things. And only those three, by the way, not the Ben Affleck Batman movies. Only those three Batman movies, the only respectable things DC Comics has ever done. So DC Comics has a superhero called The Flash. Why would you create The Flash? He is the broken thing at a garage sale version of Superman. Superman does all these amazing 100 billion things in The Flash. He's really fast. Superman's really fast, just as fast as the Flash, but does 100 other things. Can you imagine if you were you're in one of these DC cities, Metropolis, and you're oh, I need help. Someone save me. And the Flash shows up and you're you? I don't want you. You're just fast. I want the guy that can leap. Is that Superman? I leap buildings in a single bound. I hope that's not him, that he can fly. I want the guy that can fly. I want the guy that can shoot lasers out of his eyes and he's invincible. So, dude has one weakness. Kryptonite. Ooh, okay, wow. What a twist. There's so much suspense and tension now when I hear a Superman story. You know, I wonder if somewhere in this story, someone's going to bring kryptonite in. Because there's something bad happening, and Superman shows up. I wonder what'll happen next. I wonder if Superman, who's stronger than anything and more powerful than anything and invincible, will save the day. Oh, look, he does it again and again and again and again. But, oh no, what's this green thing? Kryptonite? I never saw it coming! Like, the suspense is killing me. You totally got that one by me this time. I mean, I know in the last 1,000 Superman comics I read, there was kryptonite that came in and Superman got really weak, and then they had to figure out a way past the kryptonite, but I didn't see it coming again, the fact that he has only one weakness. And again, here it comes. That's my man. That's Superman. Just love that. I could just listen to that story all day, every day. No, actually, I couldn't. I heard it once. Thought it was pretty lame. Heard it again. I was like, all right, I'm done. Oh, and by the way, Clark Kent wears glasses as his disguise. I mean, I know it's comic books, but come on. Glasses? Like Lois Lane? It's like, oh, you have glasses on. You can't be Superman, even though everything else, like, I wear glasses, I wear contact lenses, but at night, when I put my glasses on, my wife is not like, who are you? Strange man in my home and in my bed. Where is my husband? Lame. DC Comics, you can do better. So lame. Superman is the lamest superhero. Noah's Rant is here to make the world a better place. If Superman was your favorite comic book hero, now that you've heard this, he is not anymore. So, that is awesome. Your life is now better. And the world is a better place. I have done my job. That's it for episode 4 of The Beyond the Battle. I am not an idiot, see, because that would be a shame-based response. I am holy and without blemish in God's sight. But this is not the Beyond the Battle podcast. That podcast doesn't exist. But see, when you change your podcast more than you change your pants in a given week, oh, that's how I start talking about the retail guy. Because of all the times I change my pants in the week. And I wear jeans more than one day. I don't put them in the freezer, though. I really don't. And I only wear them, like, maybe twice. I used to get a little carried away, but I don't want to smell. I'm a kind of an anti-smell, smelly guy. I don't want to do that. But when you change your podcast more than you do your pants, you sometimes say the wrong podcast name, which is what I just did. Beyond the Battle podcast does not exist anymore, except in archive form on this thread. This is the conclusion of episode 4 of The Flipside Podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget the mailbag. I asked you 2 questions. What book has helped you grow the most? And what book did you read that you really most disagreed with? podcast@beyondthebattle.net. Hit me up. I will see you on the flip side.
The Flip Side with Noah Filipiak is a South Francis Press production. Copyright Noah Filipiak. www.noahfilipiak.com. Theme music by Kyle Lake at K Lake Music. Used with permission. Please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Souls needing revivals. What am I do? Influence like the cup full of that Bombay. Kelly's to them Tom Hanks. Lexus to them Andres. Hoping they check in my inner reverence. Stressing for leverage. That they see the king's tracks on the payment leading to heaven. Yow, yow. Dripping in that gall that don't perish. People selling fakes. See the green around their belly. Taking refuge in his hand. See his palms, my living quarters. Close them when I'm finished. It is time to bring me closer. There's no purgatory, cause you're in or you're out. When you see him in the clouds, then you know it's going down. Raise them, raise them, raise them. They've been sleeping for some ages. Now all God's babies so confused by this hatred. Pulpit preachers shouldn't aim to be A-list. Money probably long, but short is with your days. Have you ever heard the sound of freedom? Freedom. Have you ever heard the sound of freedom? Freedom.
So out the beauty pageants and caught up in emotions and following your passions. Talking that freedom, our people need them more than an Easter. Or coffee shop discussions, debating over baristas. Please, sir, this is why we inked up. Even when they do the autopsy, they still see him. Freedom, freedom, freedom coming quickly. Bars from the spirit. Put it through the preamp and mix it like a chemist. Put it in the airwaves and hoping that they hear it. If there's some confusion, then I hope you see him clearly. Raise him, raise him, raise him. They've been sleeping for some ages. Now all God's babies so confused by this hatred. Pulpit preachers shouldn't aim to be A-list. Money probably long, but sure it's with your daisy.